This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
A chat and was always so animated because, like the players, he was so passionate about the game.
Gary, you mentioned just league wouldn't be where it's at without guys like Mike Lang. Well, where the league was at while the Four Nations was going on was occupying a very high place, I think, in kind of the sports consciousness around this country, doing ratings, I think, on ESPN that were bigger than any hockey game, any NHL game has ever done on ESPN, that championship game. So I guess first I just wanted your reaction to the success that was the Four Nations, what you expected maybe going in versus what it actually delivered for the league.
Well, our players, and you guys know this, are extraordinarily passionate about the game. And whenever they're playing and whatever the circumstance, they go all out. And our players, because of the diversity of our player pool, love representing the countries from which they come from. There's a history and tradition of that in terms of them playing as teenagers in the World Juniors, the best players. And while there's also a history and tradition of international best-on-best in hockey, prior to 98, NHL players didn't go to the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And then we went a while, and it was kind of a mixed bag in terms of what it did to our season. But when we stopped going after Sochi, it became very clear to me how important it was to the players that they have those opportunities. And that's why we now, you know, are focused with the Players Association on a two-year schedule going forward of Olympics, 2 years later World Cup, then Olympics, 2 years after that, and 2 years after that World Cup, and so on. And we think that that will satisfy that element of passion play for our players and for our fans. But I heard you guys before I got on the air. You know, Game 7 of last year's Stanley Cup Final was a seminal moment.
Yes.
Mover. I mean, sports is made up of great moments. We had high expectations for this tournament because it was, in our mind, a jumping-off point to reintroduce people and the players to international best-on-best. And there were passionate rivalries. I mean, Finland, Sweden, Canada, U.S., you don't get much bigger than that. And the players came to play. They weren't kidding around. All you had to do was watch the first 9 seconds of the first Canada-U.S. game, and you know that guys were in this because it was Bill.
Gary, what did you think of those fights? How did you react, just your gut feeling the minute you saw it happen that way? I think the rivalry there was the Kachucks with the entire nation of Canada at that point.
There was a build-up, you know, over the ensuing few weeks. We had heard from the players how excited they were about this tournament, and they couldn't wait to get going. And with everything going on in the world and the overlay and everything else, the team showed up ready to go. I mean, they were energized, and you saw that from the outset. And then they settled down and played two great hockey games.
We're talking to Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL. Great success, the Four Nations tournament. We obviously were spellbound to it in Pittsburgh with Sidney Crosby playing for Team Canada, Mike Sullivan coaching the U.S. side. You had Pittsburgh-born players like Vinny Trocheck, JT Miller that also participated in it. Gary, my question off of that is, how do you carry the momentum from that great tournament now into the rest of the NHL regular season?
Well, everything we do builds on everything else. So in a very concrete way, next Saturday, we're going to have 90,000 people at the Ohio Stadium in Columbus for a game between the Blue Jackets and the Red Wings. We're in the stretch run to the playoffs. Look at the standings in the East. And then, you know, there's nothing like our playoffs, particularly the first round. This will continue to build. ESPN and Turner did a great job in bringing it to life in the United States. And, you know, our great players every night come back and do great things night after night. I mean, look in Pittsburgh. Sid Crosby is a marvel, and we've been lucky to have him in the game. Mike Sullivan, you know, did a great job with Team USA, not just in coaching the team, but the way he conveyed to everybody what was going on and how everybody felt about the tournament. So, you know, maybe this whole event will give people who weren't really hockey fans, maybe not even sports fans, an opportunity to say, you know what? What we saw was really good, really exciting, really entertaining. I want to see some more of it.
Gary, who are some of the people outside the hockey world who either text you or reached out and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe we got this guy to buy in and lock into this great tournament?
I heard from governmental leaders, politicians, business people. I mean, yeah, my phone lit up. And it was gratifying, you know, people telling me stories that they were at other sporting events and everybody was on their phone watching the games on Thursday night. Listen, the numbers we did were huge numbers. So it's clear that lots and lots and lots of people were tuned in. And if you compare the number in North America, I think we were over 16 million because I think we did another 8 million in addition to the 9.3 in the U.S. We did 8 million in Canada.
Gary, you mentioned the game at Ohio Stadium coming up here. Do you still feel like outdoor hockey, especially in the United States, is moving the needle the way you want it to for the league?
Absolutely. It's a great event, particularly in person. Fans in the markets where we go to do it. And we've done a number of games in Pittsburgh. So, I mean, people love to come to the outdoors, brave the cold, and in record numbers compared to the 15 to 20,000 we typically have indoors in arenas, they love it. It takes the ultimate reality show, sports and our game, and subjects it to the elements, and it brings up, you know, conjures up memories of kids learning to skate on frozen ponds. And it also creates its own memories, you know, when people come together from all over in those large numbers.
Gary Bettman with us, the commissioner of the NHL. I'm sure once you have a great tournament like that, you think about ways to make it better and make it more successful the next time you do it, Gary. One question we got throughout was, will they add Russia? Can they get Russia and Evgeny Malkin and Alexander Ovechkin into this tournament? What would you say to that?
Well, there's a two-part answer to that. One is, when we do the World Cup, we're envisioning at least eight teams. At this point, for the Four Nations, we had to do with the timing because we only had a short window to put it together, and the realities of the geopolitics in the world. I mean, 2 weeks ago, the IIHF, the International Ice Hockey Federation, voted to continue to ban Russia from competition. The IOC's got to make that same decision for the Olympics in the next couple of months. So, you know, that issue is not one that we decide. It's more one where we have to pay attention to what the world governing bodies are doing with Russia in sports right now.
Gary, to go back a little bit with something else Four Nations related that is not about geopolitics, we are obviously blessed in this city to have had an almost uninterrupted run for 40 years of basically the brightest lights in the sport calling Pittsburgh home. Mario Lemieux, before that game, how did, you know, can you walk us through the process of having him involved on the Team Canada side leading into the Four Nations?
Because we haven't seen him here in a while,
Gary. It's been a while here.
Well, you know, he has a place not too far from where we were in Montreal. And, you know, he generally is kind of somebody who stays away from the public eye. But the crowd in Montreal at the Bell Center was electric. I heard one of the players from one of the other teams go, "I'm sure glad he didn't introduce the team when we had to play our game." it was emotional. He is beloved, not just in Pittsburgh or in Montreal, but throughout the NHL. He's given so much to the game. And frankly, I thought it was great to see the reaction he got. And then I was with him to see his reaction to what the reaction to him was. It was really a very special moment.
Gary, the next time you do the Four Nations, is it set to be Montreal and Boston, or could it be in a place like Toronto for Canada and Pittsburgh, where we obviously love hockey?
Oh, no, we're going to bid it out, and it can be, there'll be some games, we believe, in Europe.
Wow.
The World Cup is going to be a real World Cup, like you know, depending on how many teams, there may be some qualifications. We envision, once we bring the World Cup back, which we'll do 2 years after next year's Olympics, that, you know, people will view this like they do the World Cup of soccer.
Gary, I have to bring this up just because, like, it's kind of the nature of sports fandom. You're comparing one thing to another, and people talked about, wow, this Four Nations is incredible, and then would bring up the All-Star game in less flattering terms, but the All-Star game isn't gone. What, if any, kind of different or new plans do you have for the All-Star game moving forward in the NHL?
Actually, our All-Star game for a number of years has not been criticized at all. We revamped the skills, and we did that with players like Connor McDavid having us do it, and it's worked well. And then I think it was the All-Star game in Nashville, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years ago, where we went to the 3-on-3 round robin, $1 million winner take all. And we've not gotten criticism over our All-Star game. Obviously, Four Nations took everything to a new level, but our All-Star game wasn't one that was under siege by any stretch of the imagination.
You've got to feel good, though, that it seems like the discourse afterwards was, how do the other leagues either steal or copy or find a facsimile of what you guys did?
You know, that remains to be seen over time. To the extent people take something away from it that they thought might work for them.
Yep.
What do they say? Imitation's the highest form of flattery.
Exactly.
We kind of do our own thing. Again, we changed the All-Star game to go to 3-on-3 with a little round robin. We move our skills around. We try the outdoor games. We don't hesitate to try some things that are new and innovative and our fans might find very special. Hey, listen, we're going to play 2 outdoor games next season in Florida. You know, that's new, that's innovative, and some people say it may be crazy. We'll tune in again now and see how we did.
Gary, we are now 12 goals away from Alexander Ovechkin tying Wayne Gretzky. We are 13 goals away from him breaking Gretzky's goal record, which felt like an untouchable mark, particularly since it wasn't the roaring 80s anymore offensively for the league for a while. What, when you consider Ovechkin, the achievement that he's on the precipice of, just what is your reaction to the fact that the NHL is very soon going to have a new all-time goal champion?
Well, actually, before I answer that question, let me just touch 2 points. One, while Alex and Sid have been playing, and we have been more than blessed to have them for roughly 2 decades, that was the era after we lost the season, created competitive balance, and made the rule changes that opened up the game. So we've been more offensive-oriented than we were in the era you were referring to back before their careers. But again, having Sid and Alex in the game has been unbelievable, and we're grateful to both of them. But, yeah, I mean, having a record that nobody thought could be broken and looking at Alex's endurance and the level of skill and compete that he's had, it's really special. And I was with Wayne in Boston, and frankly, at the end of the day, he and I are both going to be following Alex around to hopefully be there, plan to be there when he ties and then breaks the record. And it is one of the truly extraordinary events that you'll see in sport.
And that could lead you to Pittsburgh, because the last game of the regular season is Capitals and Penguins. How about the schedule makers nailing that one as a potential place where he breaks the record or ties it, Gary?
Probably wasn't a coincidence.
I don't think so.
Based on what he did yesterday, if he keeps that up, we may not get to that.
I was just going to say, point. You might have to tell some people to try to slow him down a little bit.
Gary,
right,
you've touched on Sid a little bit in this interview. I'm very interested in just hearing you, because you're such an eloquent speaker, just describe the Sidney Crosby impact on the NHL. There's a stat going around that he's now won gold or an international championship 5 times for Team Canada. The U.S. as a total nation has only done it 4 times. And so just his serial winning that he has brought to your sport.
Well, actually, I think up until the game that they lost the first game in the Four Nations, the Team Canada had won like 26 games in a row with him. I mean, he's a great player. He's a great leader. He represents the games on and off the ice, you know, incomparably. He represents everything that's great about the game. He represents Pittsburgh well, and he's just a first-class, terrific person. He's the whole deal. And we have been grateful to see this career unfold from when he was, you know, a kid.
And he's gotten other kids involved in the sport here. Logan Cooley got drafted by Arizona in the first round as a top pick, and he came through Sidney Crosby's hockey program.
He's done it all on and off the ice, and it's just, you know, it's been great to see. And obviously, when he's done, we're going to miss him, but hopefully he won't be too far from the game.
Gary Bettman, NHL Commissioner. Gary, thanks so much. High times for the NHL. We loved it here in Pittsburgh, just like the rest of the world did. And, we'll catch up again when you bring a big event to Pittsburgh. How's that sound?
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Garrett.
Gary Bettman, Commissioner of the NHL. That's pretty cool.
Man, he had stats ready for me, though, about the Roaring 80s.
Oh, I mean, look.
He had his numbers lined up. I know they came out of the lockout. It was all offense, but.
He's obviously a lawyer, and he's done what I've heard. He's done some interviews where there's a repartee and a big time back and forth. I mean, given what the NHL has accomplished here in the last 2 weeks, there really wasn't a reason to get into any kind of, you know, argument with
him. I tried with the All-Star Game one, but decided I was going to let sleeping dogs lie.
Kabali wanted me to start in and say, hey, are you going to ruin the Four Nations the way that you've ruined the Stadium Series games? I'm like, come on, Mark. What do you think I'm doing here?
Did you notice I tried to ask something about that? And, oh, the appetite is insatiable still. Well, then there should be more than two of them, no?
I water it down, Malls.
Well, how many did they have at their peak in a given year? They would have, like, it seemed like 8 or 9.
It seemed like there were a lot, yeah.
That's what I mean.
Like, he is right. I went to the one a few years ago with Giannotti. We were in Nashville for Lightning and Predators. And it's definitely true, and people know this from going to the Washington-Pittsburgh game, even though it obviously had one of the worst moments in Penguins history with Sid's hit from Steckel, and the Penguins-Flyers game that was here.
At both of those?
Yes, like, it is, when you have it, it's
cool. Spectacle. But hard to see the ice if you're high up, but it's a spectacle. I was at the one in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Blackhawks, I forgot about that.
Which is like the ultimate spectacle.
Wasn't it so cold you were drunk the entire game?
My beer was freezing in the can, and it was room temperature when I left, and then we were drinking Fireball to stay warm. The only, like...
Has he said anywhere else that Russia can't play in this?
No.
Is that news? I guess, like, you might be able to...
glean it.
Ascertain that on your own, just based on what he said.
He's going to follow. He's going to follow the political winds. Yeah, he's going to follow the other organizations. I don't think he. I think it was very clear there. He does not want to be seen as the guy who rocks the boat on that.
But how about that, Donnie? I mean, basically, it sounds like unless the political landscape changes, we might not even see Ovechkin, Malkin, and Russia in the Olympics.
Yeah, next it just February. Sounds like that's. Unfortunately,
well, the political landscape appears to be changing, however, under our feet with that one.
But, like, until that does change, I think he is wise to, like, kind of wait until it's all clear.
One more thing. I mean this very sincerely. He's the commissioner of the entire league, and he gave us 15 minutes.
I agree 100% with
that. Which is, I think, a very, very, very cool gesture. While it seems like some sirens were blaring behind him in the background, one thing, though, Gary. I say all that to say this. I know you're going to defend the sport. Do you have your Twitter search terms muted for this is so much better than the All-Star game? Your All-Star game's not under siege? What are we talking about here?
I think he's saying relative to the Pro Bowl and the NBA All-Star game, he's right.
But
even before this, it was second behind Major League Baseball's All-Star game.
The Four Nations, I didn't have the exact number, so I didn't want to go with it, although I think Gary probably would have known it, did like 560% better in the ratings in the United States than last year's All-Star game.
Yeah.
I think there's an appetite for real competition and not for whatever any sports All-Star weekend is anymore. I'm just pointing
that
out.
They deserve a pat on the back. They came up with a concept, but then the thing about it is the execution of it. Are the players actually going to take it seriously? And they did, and he said it was a testament to them, and that's not him pumping his players' tires or his league's tires. It's one thing to say, let's put all these great players on the ice and have them slap Team Canada and Team USA on the front of their sweaters.
It's another thing for the players to take it seriously.
I mean, they went out there and they acted like this was 1980 in Lake Placid all over
again.
His
league is also getting rid of fighting more and more, but it's clear that he thought that the fighting was certainly not a net negative.
He's right about that.
And he just wasn't going to say, like, yeah, it was unbelievable.
He wasn't going to say it was uncouth. He wasn't going to go in that direction because he knew that it drove ratings for
him. Well, he also said, like, they played two very good games. This is a dumb question. He kept referring only to the World Cup. Is this just like a temporary patch over to that, basically?
What do you mean?
The Four Nations itself.
They're going to do both. Like, they're going to alternate them.
But how many years ahead do they even have the Four Nations planned out is my point. Like, I'm not even sure. You know what I mean? Because I think when he's saying the Olympics and the World Cup, it's like you could just stagger those every two, which would mean the Four Nations, where does that fit?
I think that those two things are going to happen again before the next Four Nations.
So like Four Nations in 2029, right? I guess? Because it's happening in odd years.
So then it would
be... So the Olympics would go 2026.
Yep. And
World
then,
Cup 2028. Are you going to stick a Four Nations in there in 2029 and keep having that? Then it's like constant international competition. And I think you do probably run the risk of cheapening the Four Nations a little bit at that point. That's why whenever you kept asking he answered questions in the form of World Cup.
That's a good – well, that's because I think he's trying to tee up the next one that they're putting on and not like the Olympics is out of their hands. They're just giving their players permission to go play. But so you're
– what I'm saying is it seems like the Four Nations was just a temporary bridge to get to the World Cup. Like the Four Nations as we are talking about it is not actually going to happen.
I think it was a way to bring –
NHL-driven international competition.
Before the Olympics, yes. And it was an appetizer to whet the appetite before that event happens. And the thing that worked in its favor, too, is it had been so long since we saw the world's best players compete in something like this because they did not go to the last two Olympics. And he said it was a mixed bag when they sent players. And I think the only regret I have from that interview, now thinking back to it in my head, that I should have asked him that I didn't was, what kind of feedback have you gotten from teams about the break and injuries? Right? I mean, McAvoy's out in Boston.
Didn't he allude to the fact that like there was, with the Olympic break, which is much longer, there was like mixed feedback from teams about like they didn't
well the
gap people the, didn't love the gap.
The issue there has always been other than eyeballs on hockey, we're not getting anything out of it.
Right. Yeah.
And now two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
What does it do?
We're trying to go on a generational run here. Gary Bettman just joined us a half hour ago. You can go back and listen to that on the Odyssey app. One of the most beloved pirates since our station launched in 2010. We'll have our big 15th anniversary shindig on Wednesday. That is going to be a night to remember. Got an email about how this place is going to be, the Rivers Casino Ballroom is going to be rocking for that event. We're going to have, hopefully, fingers crossed, one of the great pirates from that era wants to come on and chat it up with us tomorrow. We had Kenny Pickett on the station Saturday.
Look at you. You don't even have a segue for that.
This is PM Team Weekend Review. And I think Kabali sent me a text that said, riveting 9-minute interview. Kenny Pickett, I could tell from a text if it was...
What is with you and the Kabali? I mean, man, Kabali's like the main fourth character on today's show. Well, he's got an opinion on everything.
Because he's the radio station and show ombudsman.
Jason and Slippery Rock.
Jason and Slippery Rock's losing that title to Mark. Mark's commenting and opining more.
Just so Mark knows, we're not paying him like McAfee does to be the ombudsman.
Not sure if it was said in jest or sarcastically, or if Mark was actually legitimately jealous... and intrigued.
What's
by
your
hearing
gut tell you?
With Mark, it always skews negative. Would you agree with that, Donnie? I mean, it actually could have been a great interview, and Mark's going to like find something about it that he thinks sucked.
You're saying Kabali's negative about things?
Oh, man, I got to go to the Combine, and McAfee wants me to hang out because they're doing their show live there, and he's going to take me out to the great steakhouse there.
I've been trying to eat healthier. He's going to want me to have shrimp cocktail. It's kind of spicy.
They have these dry aged steaks that usually go for about $150 a piece that I'm going to have to eat.
Pat's going to snap his fingers and 4 of them will appear and I'll pick one.
And when I ask for it well done or ketchup on the side, everyone's going to make
fun
of me.
That would be a tough look for him.
Anyways.
He makes me look positive.
He does.
I mean, you want to talk about a real indictment. He makes me look like a glass
half full optimist. But somehow, like, there's a lot of Steelers fans who, like, accept his negativity or take it better. It's weird.
Then they do ours? Well, I think there's this idea that he's on the inside, so he must have a real, like, perspective on it somehow.
Well, he said something on the Showdown last night that we're going to get to regarding the Steelers situation going into the combine. But here are some highlights from Kenny on with Bostic. Was asked what it was like playing in the Super Bowl. He did go in. He did attempt to pass.
Which hurt Vegas badly, by the way.
Because that means more than two players attempted a pass in the game, which is always a big
problem. I saw one of those guys who runs a casino out there and does the liability and how much they're on the hook for say that particular play crushed them.
So Kenny made a lot of people money.
Yes, he did.
In the Super Bowl. Here he is telling Bostic about that experience.
Yeah, it was special, especially, having my wife there, my family, parents, a lot of people that have been there from the start were there. And to be in an Eagles uniform growing up, going to the link, and kind of that's where I really, found the love for the game when I was 5 years old, having my dad and my grandfather take me to the games. Doing that in an Eagles uniform is special.
So I think most people here are not happy for him, and I think most people here thought it was like a punchline that he went in. And I think he might have looked at it somewhat that way, if not for what he said there at the end, it being his boyhood team. And when you're trying to deal with, I think, the pain that comes with your first-round pick and already 3 years in, you're carrying a clipboard and you've lost your job and you're on a new team, the fact that it's with that team that you wore their jerseys and you had posters on the wall and you, when you're in the backyard, you're pretending to be an Eagles player.
When he has grandkids, if and when he has grandkids someday, I mean, in all seriousness, no matter what, whether he has to tell the whole story to them or not, he's going to say, I took the last snap of a Super Bowl.
And here's the ring.
I walked off
with
the ball.
Maybe he kept the ball.
I would imagine, unless somebody on the team who did more in the game asked him for it, I walked off with the ball like this was the last snap of the Super Bowl. And those kids are probably going to think it's unbelievably cool.
If the kicker, if Elliott asks him for the ball, does that constitute having done more in the game to give it up to him?
How many field goals did Elliott even kick? One?
No, he made a couple of long ones, I thought.
Wait, I'm sorry, he kicked what? Two or three, I guess. I would say Elliott did more.
What if Mann, the punter who had a cup of coffee in Pittsburgh, asked for the ball?
How many punts did he even have?
I think two. What if he played the card of I contributed more to the team the entire year?
I think he'd have a case. But no way a punter or a kicker is getting that ball before a player who would want it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They're punters are people, too. They're players, too.
I think Jalen Hurts probably ended up with the ball, or Saquon would be my guess. Maybe Brandon Graham, who's been there forever and has given his...
What if Kenny held it for ransom?
He sold it off?
You want this ball, you pay up.
Pickett on his time in Pittsburgh.
You develop such strong bonds playing football, especially at this level and how much time that gets put into it, during the season, OTAs, training camp, being at Latrobe, being in dorm rooms. You get really tight with guys. Alex Highsmith's actually down here now, so we're going to hit the golf course.
This is really your first time on the air here in Pittsburgh. What was the offseason like for you?
The offseason was crazy. Everyone's journey is different. It's the NFL. It's a tough league. Everyone's journey is different, so I'm just kind of taking it a day at a time, being where my feet are, putting everything into my craft, working hard, see what happens. So that's really just where my mindset's at. Loving Philly, love my time in Pittsburgh. So excited to head into year four next.
That's called taking the high road.
Yes,
love my
is.
Time in Pittsburgh.
Be where your feet are. That's a Clint Hurdleism.
Well, I was just going to say, Donnie, do you sense love my time in Pittsburgh, meaning he's referring more to his time at Pitt? He didn't say Steelers there.
I mean, I guess it could mean both. I'm going to guess, though, that he liked the time at Pitt a little bit more than the Steelers. That's just a guess. He was here.
He didn't
for...
say Steelers. I think that's not a slip up. I think that's
He was also here for what, 7 years?
Five at Pitt. He went from an 18-year-old or 17-year-old kid to 25 years old here.
Interesting that a guy like Highsmith still considers him a friend. They weren't on the same side of the ball. They didn't come into the league together.
I'm not totally shocked because I could see some of the defensive players being better friends with them, even though I know there are a lot of short drives or whatever, but I could almost see there being frustrations.
I was just going to say, you don't think there's defensive players that are like, damn, he wasn't good enough, which hurt our team, and then he basically asked out?
That defense can't exactly say a whole lot for itself necessarily all the time. I would think that the offensive players, though, would be more frustrated. Hey, we did our jobs. He didn't make this throw, or he spun himself into a sack. What?
Oh, you're right about that.
What, dude?
He did that a lot.
Of all the offensive players, you know who I think should have the warmest feelings towards him? Pickens. He still had some big plays with old Georgie boy. The Raiders game.
How about the Ravens?
The Ravens game.
Yep. Here he is on one more. Here's Pickett telling, or Bosket alluding to a big thing that Kenny's going to come back for.
Birdie tells me you're going to be back for the spring game here in a few weeks.
Yeah, I will be soon. I got to talk to Avante Maddox. I think we might be coaching against each other.
Oh, boy.
So I got to get him on the phone, and we'll see. Yeah, but I'm really, really excited for it. Really excited to get back to Pitt, see all the guys, see all the coaches, and, you know, see how the team's looking this year.
Big gloves to fill there, Ken.
Ponies gloves.
I coached my heart out in that game. We still lost because we got screwed by the refs.
I got kind of relegated to the sidelines in that one, literally and figuratively, Donnie. Pony just took up all the oxygen. He was so ready to coach. I felt like I was more the Big Dom of that situation.
Well, Big Dom is beloved in Philadelphia, so what's wrong with that?
You would make your way into some FaceTime if you were more like Big Dom.
Big Dom took the Lombardi Trophy to a Flyers game the other day and got mobbed.
I feel like that's pretty on brand.
Do you think he gets booed?
Who?
Ken.
No, because Pitt fans are his like most strong core constituency.
He got booed when he came back for a game Labor Day weekend this past season.
I think Pitt fans, they are going to cheer for him. They are.
Time healing wounds and whatnot?
I think the fact that the Steelers didn't fare any better in a tangible way, they went to the playoffs and lost, maybe has turned more people against the Steelers. I'm still thinking about that game we coached, and I couldn't. They made us run out through the cheerleaders or whatever. That was when I had just torn my meniscus.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I was like hobbling there like a pirate doing like the dead leg, like a stanky leg, trying to run out. Like my knee was
just completely
unstable. I blacked
out. I don't even remember what I did in that situation.
You ran out and looked like, you know, Johnny football coach, like Dabo coming down the hill in Death Valley. And you, here's what was so weird about you.
Okay.
I would like try to say something like flippant to you during the game, and you were so insanely locked in. It was like the lights were on when I was trying to talk to you and no one was home.
Well, I'm a very competitive person. I wanted to win for that reason.
But and, like you really were like off in your own world.
I also wanted to impress them and make Narduzzi think that I was somebody who he could consider for a spot on staff. I thought I took it as an audition.
Now, how high up the coaching ranks on his staff would you have had a job offer come in to actually leave this job? You can't Gottlieb it and do both.
What if he made me GM? Like
Did they even have one of those formally back then? They didn't.
No, they didn't, but maybe now he could consider it.
Well,
given
you would
how
probably that take that job because I think that would pay you more than this place does. I think most of those guys make several hundred thousand dollars a year. What if he said assistant or if he said wide receivers coach for me?
See, I wouldn't do well at that job.
What job would you do well at there?
I think I just told you.
Just the GM job? So not actually a coaching job, a front office
job. I mean, I don't think
job.
Do they want to hire a czar of common sense? Because
well,
again, I think
look,
I could.
Again, look away from you.
Because again, I think I could. Well, what do you mean? See, the czar of common sense in that game against Penn State would have said, hey.
Go for it.
We're not kicking a field goal from the 1 yard line when we're out on the extreme right hash. Or, for example, in the second overtime against Toledo, I would have
we're
said, hey,
going
we're
it.
Going for it.
Yeah.
And not playing for a third overtime
here. How much would Pat
have
wanted to pay you to be a czar of common sense, though? How much is that worth?
I think it's a very important position. I think that's like a $500,000 a year job.
What if the Steelers paid you to be the czar of common sense, but the problem for you was you still had to report to Mike Tomlin?
Well, so that's what the issue would be with them. Yeah. I would say, if you're going to hire me as czar of common sense, you actually have to listen to my common sense. And I have my doubts that your head coach is going to do that.
Would you quit in a huff after like 1 week? Mike, you've got to go for 4th and 1 here from their 44. You've got to go for
it. I would.
It. The percentages
that,
say go.
In that situation, if he didn't take me seriously as the czar of common sense, I would hand in my resignation.
There's a 0.0%.
Donnie, how do you think I would do as
he
the
would
czar
take
of
you
common
seriously.
Sense? I honestly think these teams need an infusion of common sense.
And you think you're just the man for the
yes.
job?
Yes.
Here's the problem. He's just admitted he's super competitive and almost blacks out. We see the way he tweets during games. He's like a psychopath. I don't think he could keep his head on straight in those situations. I think he'd get too wrapped up into what he was
Chris
doing.
Chris brings up a pretty strong point.
No, I'm not emotional in those.
Because you would still have sports talk guy brain, and you'd be like dog cussing Russ or something like that for missing a throw. and getting ready to tweet until you realize, no, I'm supposed to make a decision for Mike.
How do you think I would do in that spot?
He would be so mad at Russell Wilson or whoever's at quarterback, he would punt on third down.
Right. No, say they had gotten stuffed on third and one, he'd be so furious that
they
had gotten stuffed.
You guys are missing the bigger
picture, though. He would just say, punt, I don't care what you do.
It's not just in-game common sense. It's global common sense, too.
Yes. You are the global common sense king.
Yep.
You're like Abe Froman, the sausage king of Chicago. When I think of you, all I think of is common sense. I definitely don't think of a guy whose wife has actually said you're a really smart person with little to no common sense.
You know, she did make an offhanded remark yesterday while we were watching Robert Morris Milwaukee that did not sit well with me.
Was it, why are we watching Robert Morris in Milwaukee?
She was like, we're doing this again.
And so are we watching Robert Morris
in
Milwaukee?
We are, as a matter of fact. That's a great story. She likes Andy.
Andy's awesome. I'm glad you were watching the game, but I'm not surprised that that was her quote.
And when I told her this was for first place, she said, okay, I guess I can get down with it.
This is, what an incredible specimen we.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.